So with so many babies in the front here, don't worry about the baby crying. We love the sound of babies. It means there's sign of life. Feel free to even just stand up and rock the baby on the side aisles if you want, if you feel like he or she is fussing a little bit. But anyway, yesterday's snowstorm almost kept me from making it to 3 p.m. confessions and 4:15 mass last evening. Just yesterday, just before noon, I texted Shane from all the way up north and told her my car was stuck. And out of all the places it got stuck, I was deep into the Pigeon River Country State Forest. And if you haven't heard of it, it's way up north in the central part of the state here, just south of Onaway, if you know where that is. And the Pigeon River County or Country State Forest is the largest block of contiguous undeveloped land in the Lower Peninsula. And it's right beside another huge state forest, Atlanta State Forest, and it's in the midst of all that we were there on Friday. And if you're wondering what we were doing in the middle of these two state forests with no town in between them, I had left Jackson Thursday afternoon to spend all day Friday with 9 other guys to go snowmobiling. And we sure did get the snow we wanted. Having been hit with a lot of snow that day, I decided to skip the Saturday morning ride and to get on the road early Saturday morning to be sure to get back in time for 3 p.m. confessions. When even more snow was expected throughout the day, the driving was sure to be really slow going. So off I went, following Google Maps, which was a big mistake, because it was leading me through some very remote roads with actually very spotty cell phone coverage. It would sometimes come in at one bar, but then disappear. So I figured, well, I got a Jeep, so I should be able to handle these back roads. So I'm going through these narrow one-laned unplowed roads, and there was one point where it got so narrow that it looked like that's not a good idea. Right? And I thought, I'll definitely get stuck in that. So I stopped, put it in reverse, and that's when I got stuck anyway. And I had lost that momentum to get through the snow, and the four-wheel drive didn't help. So there I was, stuck out in the middle of nowhere, snow falling around me. I tire myself out trying to dig around the wheels so I could get traction, but to no avail. And with no cell phone service, I had two options. Hike over 10 miles back to the Black River Ranch where we stayed and get help there, or to hike over 13 miles the other direction to the nearest town near I-75, hoping that I would get some cell phone coverage along the way before my battery died, which, as you know, in cold weather, it drains quicker. So having seen only two cars that morning, knowing there's nothing in that 13-mile stretch to the nearest town, I decided to begin hiking back to Black River Ranch. And after hiking for a while, continually checking my phone for phone coverage, I would occasionally, get that one bar. But the service was so bad, not strong enough for a call to actually go through. It just kept on trying and trying. And then it would say no service. But then I was able, after repeated attempts, to get a text over to Shane. Says, hey, you might want to get a sub for 4:15 mass. It doesn't look like I'm going to make it. But after I sent that text, that's when I began praying the rosary, knowing that someone was working on trying to get a sub. And I should have started praying the rosary long before, because shortly after that, I hear the faint noise of a motor. And the next thing I know, I see the answer to my prayers, about 10 snowmobilers coming my way. And I give them the whole story, and I hop on the back of one of these snowmobiles, and we return to my car after a very frigid snowmobile ride with no helmet. Look at my noggin, right? So they attach two ropes to two snowmobiles. I stick it in reverse, the car, and work with them, and they pull me back to a two-lane road. So thanks to those guys, I make it back for 4:15 mass. And thanks to Father Tim Nelson, who took my 3 p.m. confessions, because I wasn't able to make it back for that. Anyway, I share that story as an intro to the main story that illustrates the message of this Sunday's readings. That Friday, it wasn't just snowmobiling, right? Whenever this friend of mine gets a group of guys together at the ranch, whether it's hunting or snowmobiling, that's just the backdrop to the fellowship and the profound sharing that goes on that evening. We celebrated Mass after we rode, and after dinner, each of the guys answered two questions. What are you really struggling with? You know, get real, no superficial stuff. And then, you know, what curveballs is life throwing at you that you're finding difficult to deal with? And then the second question is, what are you looking forward to? What's giving you hope? And since the struggles we share are confidential, I'm not going to share any details with you, but we do honor one another, and one of the guys, we'll call him John, he's around my age and is just a wonderful Catholic man, really strong in the Lord, and after a really rough, heartbreaking childhood, he was able to work through all of that, and he's been really blessed in his career, truly sees his blessings as something entrusted to him by God to help not only his wife and kids, but many others around him. Anyway, this man was friends with everyone there, and he had brought a friend I had never met before. And this friend of his said, you know, I'm here because of this man right here. I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for him. I probably wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for this man. He just kept on picking me back up. And I would ask him, why are you doing this? You don't owe me anything, right? Why are you doing this? And even after I would screw up time and again, he would just keep on picking me up, helping me to go forward. John was that continual light in this person's darkness. He was part of God's providence for this man. He was a Christ figure for him. This man kept messing up, and John would be right there for him. He said God worked through John to show him God's gratuitous love for each of us and to show him that there is another way to live than what this world is telling you. So I share that story with you because, again, today's readings were called to be a light to the nations, a Christ-like light to the people around us. In that first reading, the Lord said, you are my servant Israel, through whom I show my glory. Right? God wants to reveal his glory, and he wants to do it through his people. You are my servant Israel, through whom I show my glory. So not just Isaiah, but all of Israel was supposed to be the light for the nations. That why? That my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth, says the Lord. And from that chosen people, as part of that plan, comes Jesus, the light of the world. What does Jesus say in John 8:12? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so what does Jesus do so that not just the people of ancient Israel benefits from this light, but all peoples until the consummation of time? Jesus establishes the new Israel in the church, a universal family, not just the Jews, a universal family that calls all of humanity to once again be part of God's family, a one human family. That's the mission of the church. To bring all the nations into the one family of God. And to accomplish that mission, we have to be what St. Paul calls us in the second reading from Corinthians, right? He opens his letter with these words. He says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the church of God, to you who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy. Or in some translations, it reads, called to be saints, because the Greek there is a noun, right? Paul isn't addressing the saints in heaven when he's talking about this. In fact, Corinth was a very immoral city. It was a port city, all kinds known for, it was a wealthy city, but it was also known for a lot of immorality as a crossroads of all these cultures, right? And Paul is addressing them. He says, he calls all believers, disciples of Jesus here on earth, saints. Paul uses the word saints to describe Christians about 30 different times, making it his favorite way to address us, you and me. We're not supposed to wait for purgatory to purify us into being saints. Then we'd miss our whole entire purpose and mission here on earth. That calling to be saints is here and now because that's how we fulfill our God-given mission and vocation on earth. If John was busy living La Vida Loca, he wouldn't be affecting all the lives that were put into his life. Right? Remember that you are not your own. Jesus claimed you for himself and at quite the price. Right? That's what happened in baptism. That's why we ask these parents, do you clearly understand what you are undertaking? Because it's a calling to renew your own faith, to realize that my life, and your baby will let you know that, your life is not your own, right? So, and your life is not your own because Jesus has claimed you for himself. You are part of this mystical body that is supposed to be a light to the nations. And because that vocation isn't being filled out, fulfilled not only by the lay people, but as we've seen in the news, even by his own priests, the church is failing to be that Christ light in the world that the world needs so desperately. So I'm glad the church is getting purified. It's getting humbled because it'll come out a stronger church that knows what it's about. The reason why Jesus ascended to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit is so that everybody has access to the light, to Christ the light, somewhere around them via the person that bears the name of Christ around them. So back to snowmobiler John, he was a light in that man's darkness. Everything that the world was telling that man to pursue was coming up short and getting him deeper and deeper into a dark hole. The light that John was showing to his friend was Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. So what does Jesus tell us? You are the light of the world. First, he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That means we will possess the light that is Jesus. We're going to be one mystical body with him. And so since we possess this light, what does he say? What does he say that follows from that? You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So that man that was before me on Friday evening was a transformed man. Why? Because somebody that was part of the body of Christ was willing to accompany him and show him that light. Someone was there to show him that there was another way to live than what this world was telling him. You know, the de-Christianization of America has happened in like light speed in the last couple of decades. And so we have an entire generation that has grown up not knowing the truth about Jesus Christ, not knowing the meaning of life, and so they're looking for it in all the wrong places. And we have so many distractions that keep us from ever realizing who Jesus is. And so the church's mission is to be a light amidst the darkness, and that's needed more than ever. And the one thing that might be able to distract us from our screens and our virtual realities is a living person who embodies Jesus, who's living the vocation of being that Christ-like folks, light for folks, right? That God has placed in your life, as John is for so many of his friends. And if you find yourself not ready to be that light for the world, especially in this year when our parish is focusing on healing, allow the divine physician to heal you of your wounds. Don't go into the distractions to numb that wound, but open it up and allow the divine physician to heal that, to heal you of whatever is keeping you back from being that light for the people around you, witnessing to them that there is another way to live from what this world is telling you.